First, just two short announcements. As you hopefully know by now, our parish pastoral council has been working hard on a long-term strategic plan for our parish to help us as we go for the future and how to best evangelize the surrounding and ourselves, and we just need your help with that. So we've completed phases one and two that we've talked about, and now it's time for everyone's input. So after each Mass next weekend, we will have an open drop-in for any and all parishioners just across the street at St. Angela Hall. It's after every Mass, June 25th and 26th. When you arrive to the hall, we'll have stations manned by parish council members who will then guide you on giving input and record any new comments that or insights you might have. It'll just take a few moments of your time, so please do plan to participate in this important part of helping prepare our parish's future. And secondly, of course, today our nation celebrates Father's Day, and we remember all of our fathers and thank God for them, and those who have gone before, we pray for them. All fathers who are here present, at the end of Mass, we will impart a very special blessing for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Although we completed the Easter season a couple of weeks ago with the celebration of Pentecost, we have these other amazing feasts of the church that just keep coming. Last week was Most Holy Trinity. Today is Corpus Christi, Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. This Friday is the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, followed by the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And be sure to come to those Masses this week. You can read about them in the bulletin. This is sort of forms an encore, if you will, to the joyful Easter season. Or like I said in my column, the power of the resurrection continues, in a sense, to reverberate. I mean, after all, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is such a powerful event that it cannot be merely contained in 50 days. And so we have this beautiful encore, if you will. Now, today's feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ is a very personal one for me. The chasuble, actually, that I'm wearing, that's what we call this outer garment, was a gift from my parents. And on the back, you'll see it has the chalice and the host on the back there. And while there were many things that led me to the Catholic Church, her history and some wonderful, well-placed people at the right time and more, it was this belief that finally did it for me, where it finally clicked, that made me swim the Tiber, as they say. At the words of Jesus Christ, uttered by his ordained priest at Mass, Jesus becomes truly and substantially present. The whole Christ, that is body, blood, soul, and divinity, all of Jesus. And I'll say it yet again, speaking personally again, I did not give up all else, and so I could all else I could have done with my life in order to become Catholic and then 6 years of seminary on top of 5 years of college, right? To become a priest in order to hand out bread and wine to you, right? I didn't do all that for that. I came to bring you Jesus. Quite literally, I am here to bring you Jesus. My vocation, it's the reason I was born. Now, to paraphrase the wonderful writer Flannery O'Connor, when a woman challenged her at a party where the woman called our Holy Communion just a nice symbol, Flannery O'Connor said, well, if it's just a symbol, well, I'm going to soften her language just a bit, okay? She said, well, if it's just a symbol, then to heck with it. And really, what's the point? We should all just go home if it's just some kind of symbol. We could have fellowship a thousand other ways. You can learn about the teachings of Jesus without me, right? Our faith is not just learning about how Jesus lived and putting that into practice. Lots of other religions even have wonderful things you can follow. But we follow this because it's true. Our faith really does center around this celebration of the holy sacrifice of the Mass for a reason. It is a sacrament so great that we call it the most blessed sacrament. Our life of grace flows to and from the Eucharist, which is a gift from Jesus himself. Now, baptism is the door, and all of the other sacraments are incredible, irreplaceable channels of grace by which God helps us. But the most blessed sacrament is the crown of them all, because it is Jesus. We have centuries and centuries of martyrs that testify to this, people who gave their lives for the Mass, for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, just a couple of examples. In Elizabethan England in the 1500s, and less than 100 years ago in Mexico, a priest would be executed in the most horrible way for the crime of offering Mass. And you, if you attended it or helped it in any way, could lose your life or be put into horrible prison for a while. And you might ask, well, is it worth it? Was it worth it to have that one Mass and then that priest was killed? The answer is yes. And all of them would say the same thing. They could have at any point renounced their faith and said, you know, it's not that important, right? But just for even one Mass, they were willing to give their entire life. And why? Why would we want to renounce our faith just to hold on for a few more days or months or years when Jesus is our all and he comes in his completeness here now? Now, St. Paul, in our second reading, gives us some insight into how we got where we are with this. He gives us a familiar sequence of verbs. You hear the words took, gave thanks, broke, and gave. That should immediately set off other things in your head, right? Not only from the gospel today, where the same words are being used for the feeding of the 5,000, but also where else do we hear this? I could just hear you saying in your head, the Last Supper, Father, yes, the Last Supper. It's exactly right, where he took, broke, blessed, broke, and gave. In every case in the Bible where it says gave thanks or blessed, the actual Greek word behind that is eucharistein, Eucharist. It's an action, this action of total giving. In the feeding of the 5,000, it says they were all satisfied. In the Eucharist, Jesus gives us a super abundant. They had so much left over, which was foreshadowing the Eucharist. They had a super abundance of grace, more than we could possibly ask for. Now back to St. Paul for a second. He starts off this passage by saying, I received from the Lord what I also hand on to you. And then he goes on to describe the Mass that we have. He goes on to describe the Eucharist. Now, this process of sacred tradition, the passing on, basically St. Paul is saying, look, folks, I didn't make any of this up. I am just handing on. I'm not giving you anything new. I'm handing on what I've been given. And so we see that the Eucharist is handed down from Christ to then the apostles and on. And then that verb, handed on, is the same word in Greek for tradition. Handing on is tradition. So the Eucharist is the great tradition par excellence. The Eucharist is, in fact, the new covenant. Now, the word used for covenant, we usually translate as testament, interestingly. Now, think about that. What is the New Testament? What is the New Covenant? The New Testament is not, first of all, 27 sacred books at the end of the Bible. It is, first of all, the New Covenant, the New Testament, is, first of all, a liturgical act, a ritual celebration of bread and wine transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. The books of the New Testament, Covenant, only come on to take that name because of their association with the celebration of the Eucharist. Those books were read at the earliest masses, and so they became associated with the New Covenant, the New Testament. These sacred books teach us about this new covenant. They are read here at each renewal of the New Covenant that we call Mass. Celebration of the Eucharist is our central, most important act as Catholics that binds us into one family. And that is the reason we make such a big deal about it. It is of ultimate importance. It is so important for us to realize that Jesus identifies his Eucharistic body and blood as the new covenant itself. He is the new covenant. In doing this, he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. And Isaiah, it said, the servant of the Lord, in Isaiah, would himself become a new covenant. I form you and set you as a covenant for the people, God says through Isaiah. And Jeremiah's prophecy of the new covenant is also fulfilled in this Eucharist. And so we hear at every Mass Jesus say, this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. The New Testament. In the midst of a hurting world, and it is, our world is truly a spiritually deserted place without any lasting satisfaction. The Eucharist comes to us here in our valley of tears. Only God Himself can satisfy our deepest hunger here. Now, we in the United States are beginning this Sunday a year-long Eucharistic revival in the church. Our world is hurting. We all need healing, but so many of us are separated from the very source of our spiritual strength. And Jesus invites us to return to the source and summit of our faith, his real presence, in the most holy Eucharist. As Jesus himself says to us, my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.